Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jimmy Floyd, and for Brian Lehrer. Joining us now is Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hampton. He's one of the most decorated F-16 fighter pilots in U.S. history, and he's author of Viper Pilot, a memoir of air combat. It's now out in paperback, and it's all about his perspective from the cockpit, including how the U.S. uses airstrikes now and in the growing reliance on drones. Welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, Jamie. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for your service, sir.
Now, it's my country, too. No need for thanks.
Well, you have logged over 600 hours of combat, so I guess a thanks is in order. And you flew in the Iraq War, the first Gulf War, and over Kosovo. And you wrote about these incredible missions like there's scenes from Top Gun. I know you hear that reference probably more often than you want to, but it's one that everybody can relate to. I want to start with something that's really close to home, however, for us here in New York City. And, of course, that's September 11th, 2001. You were airborne by noon that day. What was the mission?
Well, we actually, after the planes hit the towers, they actually armed our airplanes. And we rarely fly armed inside the United States, so that was an unwelcome addition to the morning, in addition to whatever, you know, everything else that was going on. And then we were sent up, we were down in the southeast. I was in South Carolina, so they sent us up over Atlanta and Charlotte and Washington to, you know, make sure airliners landed without incident. There were no further problems.
And one of the more powerful parts of the book is when you talk about a Delta flight that day that was a little late in answering air traffic control.
Everything was a bit chaotic. I mean, normally the air traffic control system runs pretty smoothly given the 10,000 or so flights, you know, every day that are up there. But they were having some problems getting on the right frequency, and they couldn't talk to each other. So given the mood that day, they sent I had four other F-16s with me. They sent us to go find this guy. And needless to say, he was a bit disconcerted to look out of his cockpit window and see a fully armed F-16 10 feet away. I had to get close enough to see inside the cockpit, you know, to see if it wasn't, in fact, a normal pilot flying it. And he gave me a very American finger gesture, so I was pretty confident that, in fact, it was an American. I gave him one right back, and we got ourselves on the right frequency, and it all ended well, so that was good.
All right. And I guess there was no procedure for this kind of thing on 9/11, but that's changed, I imagine.
It has changed. You know, we were used to going other places in the world and doing things. We weren't used to having to do it, you know, here inside the United States. And it's really a testimony to everybody that was up there that day that, you know, nothing happened that shouldn't have happened, if you get my drift. I mean, nobody got trigger happy. There were no accidents and no further incidents.
But I imagine, if you'll forgive my asking, that some folks were had their fingers a little closer to the trigger than others.
Well, it's all up to the guy leading the flight, which in my case was me.
Yes, and you're right about this.
Yeah, I wouldn't even let anybody in my flight arm up their weapons. Because face it, I mean, you know, we're over our own country and we're not going up against people that are going to shoot back. There's no reason to rush into something. You know, we would have some time to figure it out, and I didn't want anybody making any mistakes.
Now let's talk about something that's happening right now, 12 years later, another country, Syria. One of the options being considered in Syria right now, as the U.S. did in Libya, is offering support to the rebels there through airstrikes. And proponents are saying it's a good option because it would keep ground troops out of the equation. But I really am wondering what your opinion is.
My opinion is that if there's any way to settle a problem without a war, it's better to do it that way, simply because I've lived through a few of them. If you have to go fight, then you go fight. You do it hard, you do it fast, you get it over with. The whole limited war, putting conditions on people, you know, that's like stepping into a boxing ring with one hand tied behind your back. It doesn't work. It never works. I would say that if this administration was considering that, they should have considered it several years ago, you know, not right now. I am of the opinion that what's happening in Syria isn't worth one drop of American blood, and I wouldn't send anybody into harm's way over there, whether they're on the ground or in the air. I mean, I wouldn't have done it in Afghanistan either. So
I hope
Washington has more sense than that.
Is there something specific to the mission in Syria that you are contemplating from the point of view of the fighter pilot that counsels against it?
Well, it's the same as anywhere, really. I mean, except Afghanistan, because there was no threat to airplanes, really, in Afghanistan, because they have no air defense, no surface-to-air missiles, no real fighters of their own. Syria does, and Syria would fight back. Not that that would hold us up. I mean, nothing really ever has when we're turned loose and allowed to do what we have to do. But, you know, that's a quagmire waiting to happen just like anything else, and the politicians never seem to understand that. Doing things by half measures gets people killed. Look at Benghazi, you know?
Now, the other big discussion being had yesterday and today is the question of the drones. We had, Brian had, David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent of the New York Times, on the show yesterday. And he told Brian that there are more drone pilots in training by the Air Force right now than there are pilots of manned aircraft. So I think it's fair to say the Air Force isn't changing, that it has in fact changed. Have you noticed that shift concretely? Some of the reviews of your book have noted that you may be one of the last of your kind.
Makes me sound like a dinosaur, doesn't it?
Well, or one of the last heroes of the real Air Force.
Well, you know, I'll ask you this. Would you get into a commercial airliner that didn't have a pilot in it?
Yeah, I hold my breath when I get into a commercial airline that has a pilot.
Right. So now, you know, the whole argument to me is kind of a moot point. You know, the drones to me are just... they're a tool, like a missile or a bomb or anything else. I'm going to use them when I have to, because, you know, they can take pictures of things. They, you know, I could use them as bait, you know, if I needed to. They're not going to take the place of manned fighters. There may be more, and I wouldn't call them pilots. I don't know what you call them, Xbox guys or something. You know, they're not pilots, the people that fly these things, not in the true sense of the word. You know, there may be more of them in training now than fixed-wing aircraft because, you know, the Air Force, the military in general, has cut back to, once again, kind of an absurd level. And, you know, these things always go in waves, Jamie. I mean, you know, we're in a trough right now because the economy's bad, and there's really no threat for us to consider. The danger of that is, and I'm all for defense cuts where it makes sense, but the danger of cutting too far is we don't have the recovery time anymore to build back up if we need it. You know, these weapon systems take years to field, and it takes years to train people to use them. So we can't really cut back too far on them. And the drones have been operating in an environment where the air is safe, basically. You know, there is no threat to them, so people are of the opinion that, well, they can operate anywhere, and that's just not true.
You say they're not pilots, but I noticed that in the book you mention a Predator drone pilot, and you did put the word pilot in quotation marks,
but you
talked about
was,
this guy who wrote himself up for an air medal.
Now,
he didn't get it.
We really gagged over that one. I sort of misspoke in that the Air Force, unlike the other services, takes what's called a rated pilot. So this is a guy that's already been through pilot training and can fly a normal airplane. And because there are so few normal airplanes for these guys to fly, they send them to drones. So these guys are rated pilots, but, you know, now they're sitting in an air-conditioned trailer somewhere fooling around with a joystick. What I meant by I don't consider flying a drone as piloting. The guys doing it may be pilots, but, you know, face it, you're basically playing a video game.
I'm Jamie Floyd. I'm in for Brian Lehrer, and with me now is Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hampton. He is one of the most decorated F-16 fighter pilots in U.S. history. And, of course, as you know, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hampton, President Obama gave this major national security address yesterday. And we're going to talk about it later on the show very specifically, but I can't let this interview go by without asking you to comment specifically on this one line from the speech as he defended his use of drone strikes.
Conventional air power or missiles are far less precise than drones and are likely to cause more civilian casualties and more local outrage.
What about that specific point?
Well,
more civilian casualties and local outrage and less precise than drones.
Well, you know, this is a guy who's not qualified even to be a community organizer in Chicago, much less the president of the United States.
Well, so, I suppose I asked for that by playing the clip.
You did. I mean, you know, he's not qualified to give an opinion on anything related to the military.
Are you suggesting that no non-military man can be commander-in-chief?
Absolutely not, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm just saying that this particular guy is even less qualified than most politicians. No, I'm not saying that at all. I obviously am all for our system because it's the best one around. I'm just saying that he definitely lacks the qualifications for it. And unlike other presidents, he hasn't surrounded himself by people, you know, with people that actually know what they're talking about. What he just said is patently not true. You know, you're not going to get the kind of accuracy from a drone that's being remotely operated from 5-10,000 miles away as you are from somebody overhead. Also, what he's doing is he's being disingenuous because drones carry much, much smaller weapons than conventional fighters do because, you know, they're lightweights. So they're basically gliders with a little motor in them. They can't carry much. So, of course, the weapons that we carry are going to make more of an impact. But, you know, I could put a weapon within 3 feet of where it needed to be, sometimes within 1 foot. So it doesn't get much more precise than that.
Well, you get the last word on that because we are up against the clock. And everybody gets a big plug for your book as well, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hampton, a decorated fighter pilot. The book is called Viper Pilot, a memoir of air combat. It is now out in paperback, and we thank you for your time, sir.
Well, thank you very much, Jamie. I hope to talk to you again.
Thank you.